You're listening to Lambs Media, sponsored by OnlySuperNews.com. Lambs Media is proudly sponsored by OnlySuperNews.com, news to make you feel good.
Hello, good evening and a warm welcome to week 9 of the Lambs Media Weekly Quarantine Podcast. I am your host, Harry Hanslow, for this evening's show. I hope everyone is well and staying safe. The idea behind these podcasts is to bring new content, including interviews, questions to the fans, and to raise awareness of all the competitions, challenges, and content which can be found over this period. Coming up this evening, we have an interview from ex-player John Howard, current player Bilal Yafai, and also an important update on some news across the leagues, as well as a little bit later on, we'll hear from Andrew Damnition about his thoughts on some of the news which has been coming out today. As always, throughout the show, make sure that you're active on the chat, and I can already see a few messages coming into the chat. Good evening to everyone listening in. JLR20, Dave Pick, Stuart Jones, Stevie Parker, Matthew Hilton. I know Josh and Sarah are listening in as well. I hope everyone is well. As always, if appropriate, I will give you a shout out. But we start this evening continuing the series of Tamworth FC legends. We've heard from a number of ex-Tamworth FC players over the last few months. But this evening, Kev Clark caught up with John Howard.
I hope you're well, and I hope your family are well, and thank you for joining me today.
You're more than welcome, Kevin. We're all good, thank you. Hope you are.
Good to hear. Good to hear. So, John, many fans will have fond memories of your playing days with Tamworth, but where did your career actually start?
At Wolverhampton Wanderers. I was a youth team, an apprentice, as they called it in those days, or YTS, on your £29.50 a week.
Yeah.
There's a few lads, I'm sure, will remember that. And was there for 2 years as a young apprentice, and then taken on by Graham Turner for a couple of years as a young pro. And then he fell by the wayside. I think it was the March of the end of my final year's contract, and Graham Taylor, beg your pardon, the ex-England manager, came in and took a big axe to most of the youth development, or the youth academy. I think he got rid of probably 9 out of 11 guys out of the reserve side who'd been there for 2 or 3 years. Myself being one of them. Then I went on to, I had a month pre-season with Stockport, a couple of games with Telford, a couple of games with Stafford, and out of the blue, as I was just saying to you, Les Green gave me a call from you guys, never ever seen me play. Offered me a contract within 30 seconds of speaking to me. So that was how our liaison came about, shall we say.
Yeah, it seems incredible that, like you say, without seeing you play, suddenly you get offered a contract and not just invited to come down and train and see how you get on,
yeah.
Full on contract. And it was obviously an inspired choice by Les. And then you went on to become a firm favourite at the Lamb. What would you say, John, as a player, you know, what were your strengths?
Trying to keep Captain Mark Phillips out the bar, probably. Or was that a weakness? No, that was a weakness because he always found a way.
He always seemed to find a way in there, yeah.
The strengths, obviously, I was reasonably in the air, pretty good in the air, and not the quickest, which is obviously probably why I didn't, make the next grade or play a higher level consistently. I'm quite honest with that, but aerial ability, maybe organising people in the back four and in front of me and around me.
Yeah, so you've alluded to the fact there's slight lack of pace there, but in your time at Tamworth, it was evident really that you become accustomed to reading the game, perhaps better than maybe you would have done in your younger days at academy football, and that was really a strength then.
Yeah, and I think that's the case with most centre halves, isn't it? Unless you're a Virgil van Dijk of this world, where your pace can get you out of trouble, mm-hmm. and you're good at reading the game from birth, then you do as a centre half, you tend to get that side of your game gets better as you mature and as your experience, grows really.
Absolutely. Now, during your time at Tamworth, you played under, it was mainly Paul Hendry and Andy Dwyer after Les Green left.
That's right, yeah.
Now, they showed a lot of faith in you, John, and they built teams around your strengths at centre-back. What was it like actually playing for those two?
It was fantastic. They were, probably 6 out of 7 years I was with you. They were the manager and the coach at the time. Yeah, it started when I first went to you guys. It was great under Les. We had a few decent results and everything. And it tended then after, I don't know, halfway through the season, it went belly up and things weren't happening. But Paul and Andy came in and they were a breath of fresh air. Really, I know it's a term that's used a lot, but. You could buy into what they were saying, and they were enthusiastic. Obviously, Paul a little bit more than Andy had got, a good level of playing, a very good level of playing, a lot better than anybody else in that dressing room, really. So you listen, don't you?
Yeah,
he did make you feel you. It started very sort of jovial when you turned up for a match day at sort of 1:30, and then by the time you were going out to play, you all felt like 10 feet tall, I'd imagine. It was a slow build up, and you went out there with a lot of confidence and believing in yourself and wanting to do it for everybody. So yeah, you couldn't fault them at all.
And do you think it was, I've asked other people this and I've had mixed answers really, John. Was it a good cop, bad cop kind of relationship with the pair of them?
Yeah, and I'd imagine they both took, the different hats with different players. I mean, I love both of them equally, but I used to have so many rooks with Andy. Whether it was because he used to be a centre half as well, I don't know. But Paul always used to be a bit softy with me, and then with other guys, it would be the opposite. But like you say, they bounced off each other, and they knew the management side of it and the man management side of it was, that level was great.
Well, you spent 7 years with Tamworth between 1994 and 2001. What would you say were your highlights and your lowlights? I mean, you notched up, 300 appearances, 31 goals. So there's plenty in there, John.
I think I got 200. I'm going to put you right now, Kev.
Go on.
I think I got 296 appearances I didn't quite make the 300, which is, you know, obviously bugs me because I can remember it. I think I may have got 50 odd goals. So it was the highlight, obviously, was, you know, obviously winning the, I'm trying to remember what it was in those days. Was it the Beza Homes Midland or the Dr. Martin's Midland? Would it have been? I think we won it in February. When you backtracked everything, we won it in February. So was it 26 points or something like that that we won the league by? That was obviously the highlight, and that group of lads at that time were just it was family. You know what I mean? It was great.
And on the flip side, then what would be the lowest point?
Probably the year before that, when we got done 7-1 at Ilkeston. Having beaten them 4-1 the week before and going there, I don't even know if we needed to win. I think we made it only needed a draw. I might be wrong.
I remember us taking the lead, actually. Julian Allsop scored, didn't he?
Dead legs. Yeah, crikey.
Yeah.
You got a better memory than me, but I didn't realise we took the lead.
Yeah, I do remember that.
Yeah, everything they hit just seemed to go in after that. I think they scored from two corners, so it was just one of those that wasn't meant to be.
It was never a nice place to go, Ilkeston, either, was it, John?
Oh no, it wasn't.
Okay,
yeah, they did a job on the park. Pardon?
What was your last point? Sorry.
No, so they did a job on us. I think we, Mark Holbottle was playing, who came to play for us, I think the year after. He was playing for them at the time. And the first game, he didn't get a sniff. And the second game, I think he bossed it. And I think he may have scored a couple from the corners.
Yeah, it seems like they had a point to prove. Like you say, having bumped them the week before. All good things come to an end, and your time at Tamworth concluded in 2001. Now, a lot of times players move on, and you know, you just kind of, okay, that's happened, and your fans just get on with the new crop of players that come in. But it's nice to actually catch up with players like yourselves and actually ask you, where did your career go, John, after you left the Lamb?
Nowhere really. In all honesty, I think I was 28 or 29 when I left Tamworth. Or getting on that way. I won't go into the detail of how I left. To throw anybody up to books or anything like that, unless you want something really chewy, but I won't.
No, obviously you'll be respectful, but was it fair to say from that point that you didn't particularly want to leave at that point?
I didn't want to leave, of course I didn't, no, not at all. It was said it earlier, it was family, even though Gary Mills had come in and everything, the people, you guys, the fans, everybody, it was, I suppose it was the epitome of what non-league's all about, really. You can go out and somebody can shout all sorts at you, and then half an hour later you're in the bar having a pint with each other and having a gin wag, which, that's half of, that's what sport's about, in my opinion. And obviously the elite level, that doesn't happen, but I think that's what, you fall in love with non-league. It's very much like that. You're very in touch with the fans. I remember first came to you guys, half the bus was, full of the team and half the bus was full of fans following you up and down the country. It was on an away day. It was great, singing songs and all that. So it was good.
It really is special, and that is what non-league is about. And a lot of fans that only watch higher end football, Premier League and EFL, they just can't appreciate that is what makes non-league. And so many people say it, players and fans alike. So things didn't work out then really with you under Gary Mills, and you left Tamworth, and you carried on playing because you were in your prime really at that age, John.
I obviously picked up a cup just before Gary Mills turned up. I was in and out of the treatment room, stitching me up to play, and then, not missing training and then missing a match, then stitching up to play. And it was, difficult at that time, injury-wise. Obviously, I'd had an operation on both calves at one time. So I split them both within a month of each other, which was a hereditary weakness, really.
Mm.
And yeah, it came to a point. Obviously, you know, you try and be professional. I wasn't in Gary Mills' plans, and that was that simple. Went on to, well, say I got released by you guys, and then Ian Painter from Stafford, who I'd not really known before, but I understood he quite liked me. So obviously he offered me, you know, come and train with us, come and get fit, use our facilities, use our physio, et cetera, get yourself fit, and there's a contract at the end of it. So obviously being my hometown as well, that was quite a nice situation. Managed to get myself fit, and I believe my debut for Stafford was against you guys, which is the irony of it.
The irony, yeah.
Yeah. And I think you were just you're about two or three games away from winning the league at that point.
Mm.
I think you beat us 1-0, if I remember. I can't remember who scored, but you beat us 1-0.
Specifically, no. But you've actually you played back at the Lamb as well, haven't you? Was it for Sutton Coldfield?
I could say I came back after I left Stafford the end of that season. And Chris Keogh, who was big pals with while I was at Tamworth and going, he said, come along and play for Sutton, you know, be playing every week, which I did. But I actually, again, I don't know if you remember the Coles Lane pitch. But
I remember running on it dressed as a Spice Girl at one of our fancy dress away days.
Yeah. Now there's another story, eh? Yeah. That pitch, what should I say, almost blown calf muscles and Achilles, and playing next to Steve Farmer pretty much finished me off that year. But went on to play. I came back to, I think we played you, it might have been the Birmingham Senior Cup match or something like that. But I was on the bench.
Right.
So I didn't get on, no. I graced the turf when I was warming up, but that was as far as it got.
It's been really good to catch up with you, John.
Yeah.
Is there anything that you would like to say, a message to the fans that will be listening into this podcast, and anything that you'd like to pass on to them?
I miss the times that, you know, I used to play with you guys and see you and socialise and everything. And it's my downfall, the fact that I've not been back to see any of you. And I promise when all this lockdown is over, I shall dash back and have a pint and throw some abuse at some players. And if you can't play on this carpet that you've got now, then you'll never be able to play.
No, there's some cracking football being played last season. It's such a shame that it ended the way it did. But
and Smudge is doing a grand job. He couldn't wish for a better bloke in charge of it, could you, really?
No, he's first class. I have to say that because he's probably listening. But he's an absolute legend. He's a quality guy.
He'll be listening with a brandy in his hand, I'm sure.
JD actually.
Is this JD? Nice.
Yeah. Yeah, JD and Coke. Anyway, we'll have to leave it there, John. But thank you very much for your time. And it's been a real pleasure chatting to you. Hopefully, we will see you down the Lamb.
You will indeed. You will indeed. All right,
you take care.
You too. Thanks, Kev. Thanks, bye-bye. Harry.
That was ex-player John Howard there. And a huge thank you to him for getting involved in tonight's podcast. As always then, before we continue on with tonight's show, I'm just going to quickly run through what we're currently doing and will continue to do over the next few months on our social media to keep you busy. As always, on our Twitter page, we have the On This Day section, which is a throwback or memory from the past which occurred on this day in history. An interesting thing to keep an eye on every morning or near enough every morning now, due to the season being finished and there being little memories on these days during the close season. We've also been hosting the Player of the Season competition, which earlier last week it was revealed that Captain Ryan Bezic had won that competition, and well deserved in my opinion. Next is the weekly quarantine quizzes. Each week we have 10 questions based on the club. It's week 12 of lockdown, so our 12th quiz, and you can access that by clicking on the link provided in the chat section. You can do that while listening along to tonight's show at the same time. So plenty to be getting on with in the coming weeks, as well as tuning into this weekly podcast at 8 p.m. on a Tuesday night. You can also catch up on any previous episodes you may have missed out on through Spotify, Podbean or Apple Podcasts by searching Lambs Media. With football set to return to the UK in the coming weeks through the Premier League, there's been a lot of news across the pyramid today. It's been announced that League One and League Two are to be decided on points per game, which means I believe Coventry City will get a promotion. And there's been some scenes of some celebrations going on, believe it or not, across the city. The National League will tomorrow begin to make their decision. So that's the two leagues above Tamworth. Now that League One and League Two have made their decisions, they're going to look at making a decision on what they're going to do. And also the legal action opposed by South Shields to challenge the null and void has failed. That's been announced earlier this afternoon. In a statement from the FA, they said the three-man panel rejected the club's argument in its entirety that the decision made by the FA was unlawful. They then went on to saying that they are aware that the decision will disappoint some clubs. But what does this mean for Tamworth? Well, I think a lot of people were sort of hoping that the FA would overturn their earlier decision to null and void the season, meaning that Tamworth could potentially be promoted through points per game. I'm sure many fans today are asking, well, if League One and Two can be decided on points per game, then why can't we? Well, the Northern Premier Chairman, Mark Harris, has today announced, put a statement out which says, we as the three leagues, the Northern Premier, the Southern Premier, which is our league, and the Isthmian Premier, have been working closely together to come up with some sort of roadmap. Certainly one thing that clubs have been saying to us is that playing behind closed doors won't work. We can play in front of limited crowds. We necessarily want to. I've been knocked out by some of the smaller clubs bringing forward detailed plans for how they will social distance, how they will handle it in training, and how they will handle it from a match day perspective. A lot of work is being done at the FA to come up with a set of protocols. There's a lot of work going on. He went on to say that there's got to be a huge amount of self-policing. We can put in place things like temperature checks and social distancing, but the problem is how do you come up with a set of protocols that will fit all clubs? Ultimately, it'll be up to the clubs to action the guidelines and to police them. There's a balance. Let's make it absolutely clear. The last thing that we want to do is to create an unsafe environment. But in the same way that the government is having to balance, you've also got to balance the financial and the sustainable health of our clubs. We have a choice. If we go for the safety approach, then forget next season. Well, let me know your thoughts on that in the comments section. I think it's still very unknown when next season will be at the minute, if at all, as he said. But earlier we caught up with Andrew Damnition, who said the following.
Yeah, it's funny enough, I looked at the fans forum, the video and what you guys put together from last year, and one of the comments was on there is I said we'd be playing in the Conference North next season, and someone said, oh, that's a big statement in the background. Part of me feels like, well, we was on course to play in the Conference North next year, so I feel like in a way, even though it's out of our control, that it's like a letdown for the fans, and a letdown for the club, a letdown for Bob and Steve and the committee who have invested big amounts of money into the football club and into the season. And that, for me, the club wanted to be back in the Conference North. And when you're sort of given a target and you're on course to achieve that target, for that to be taken away from you, that's still burning. From an individual point of view, I feel like I've wasted maybe, I don't know, I can't even quantify how many hours I've put into it and with Smudge and Tom, but I've wasted that time for my family and made sacrifices, and it's time I can't get back with my two daughters, seeing them grow. Like the hours just spent on analysis or preparing coaching sessions and preparing for match day. It's not just, we don't just turn up and play, like the hours what are going in is unreal. Like Anna Freeman, for example, the hours that she puts in. So like it's actually still burning me quite bad, and I'm just going to be honest, like, and I don't know how they're going to operate with 21 teams in the Conference North next year. Not only that, like, but the time and effort that's put in, what's irritating me more now is that our league is like, it feels like we're not classed as football teams, that there's no importance to step 3 to 7. And I'm sad to say that, but the FA have demonstrated that, and I don't mind going on here and saying that as well, because when you've got steps, today the EFL have come out and said, oh, there's going to be promotions on points per game and there's going to be a playoff. And I know they've obviously got the finances to do testing, and then, well, what's going to happen with the conference? It's going to go on points per game. They're going to follow League One and Two. Then that's going to happen at Step Two in the Conference North and Conference South. So what are we different? Are we, you know, there's a big sort of crisis in the world about equality, which is different, but there's got to be equality between football in front of the football pyramid. You know, and when they don't show that equality, it says to me, well, what do the FA feel about Step Three and Seven? Do they have they got any feeling? Is there any importance to it, or are we just there to make up the numbers? Because there's a lot of players what have come from grassroots, what have gone on to play Premier League football. And there's it feels like that how they've rushed steps 3 to 7 compared to steps 1 and 2 and to League 1 and 2. It's like, well, we're not concerned about you, we'll just push off to the side. And that's how I feel. And Gaz is right about the safety of people. That's paramount here. But when the world gets back slowly to going, football's still going to be there, and yet we feel that we've got the brunt of it. And from a career point of view, I look at it and say, well, this is me and Smudge's like first opportunity at management at this step, and we're sort of ticking the boxes. I know Tom's been in it a lot more, but for a career opportunity, it's like, well, if you do well, you know, you get rewarded with a promotion on your CV, and that's been taken away. And I don't know, I know I've spoke to Smudge about what that means for his family and what that means for our families, and what does that mean for people around and their families with the time and effort that they put in, and there's no consideration for that. I just feel we should be treated the same as the rest of the football pyramid in terms of the points per game, if that's the way they're going, and that should be reviewed as well.
That was Andrew Damnition there speaking earlier today. I can also reveal that in the coming days, the club will be announcing some very important news towards the back end of this week. That is going to be released on our YouTube channel, Podbean, the website, and all social media accounts very shortly. So be sure to keep an eye out online in the coming days for that press bulletin from Gary Smith and Andrew Damnition. Last up then this evening, we have an interview with Bilal Yafai. Stuart Jones has caught up with him on his career so far and the last season at Tamworth FC.
Hi, Bilal.
Hello, Stuart.
How you doing?
I'm okay, thank you. How's things?
Yeah, very well. Thank you very well. And thank you very much indeed for your time today. Much appreciated.
Not a problem.
Good. So, hope you and your family are well in these unprecedented times. I just wondered how you've been coping with the social measures we're all trying to adhere to at the moment.
It's been quite different in a way, but I feel like I've benefited from a father's point of view, and obviously having children, being able to spend time with them, quality time that usually we don't really get in our normal lives and whatnot. So it's been a good, but as well as strange, but I definitely feel that I've benefited from it in many other ways.
Yeah, I think a lot of people have said a similar thing, haven't they? If nothing else, it's given us time to spend with our families that we wouldn't necessarily have been able to do under normal working circumstances and, you know, various other bits and pieces. So, no, that's nice to hear. Could you give us a lowdown of your career today? Where did your footballing journey start, and who have you played for prior to joining Tamworth?
My football career, like at a good level, started pretty late because as a youngster, I was into combat sport judo and I represented Great Britain and England from my teens, so about 11, 12, 13, up to about, I think about 13, 14. I used to play football, but not on a serious point. I used to play at county Gaelic football. I was into other sports, but not really football at a high level kind of thing. I used to play Gaelic football for Warwickshire, for county and whatnot. So I've always been around kind of sports and whatnot. But my football journey really started when I was about, I'd say around 14 or 15. And I was playing for, it was actually with Gary. Gary Smith, the one that's managing us at the moment, him and his friend Benji had like an organisation that would help individuals get trials at certain clubs and whatnot. So we went and we played against a team and it was against Hereford. And this was when they were rebuilding their team at the time. And then obviously the manager at the time, John Taylor, and Mark Ellis, who was the coach at the time, he took me on board. And to be honest, it was my first real chance at men's football. I think it was 16 or 17 years old I was. And it was in this actual same league in the southern side of it. And when Hereford were rebuilding kind of thing. So that's where it pretty much started. And then I was doing very well there. The stand-up players getting a couple of offers to go to trial to Fleetwood, to Cardiff, to Birmingham City. And I actually chose a team in Scotland, Dundee, to go on trial to. And it's pretty much started from there kind of thing. But yeah, it's been alright, but difficult, but it's been alright. It's been a bit weird for myself. Like, I always knew that I had the ability to go places, but it just really never happened. And then I fell out of all them trials and whatnot, and I went back to Rushall.
Played
at Rushall for a little bit, and then I done my ACL ligament. And then obviously I had to have some time off football and whatnot, and then it brought us to here.
Yeah, slowed progress down, I guess, a little bit with injury like that.
Definitely.
Now, well, as you mentioned, you were coached by Gary, Gary Smith at 14 years of age, but how did the move to Tamworth at the beginning of the 2019-20 season come about?
The move to Tamworth, it came about quite strangely, to be honest. Like, obviously, I was towards the end of last season, I was with Gary Hackett at Stourbridge. And then I had to leave before the end of the season because I had a little family issue. So I had to take my brother abroad and whatnot and sort a few things out. And then I came back and obviously being in touch with 4D and whatnot, I had a couple of offers from a couple of clubs to come in. And then Andy must have spoke to 4D about me. And then Andy just called me up and he said, listen, I'm interested in getting you to come and have a chat with me, see the setup, see what you think. I'm interested in signing you and whatnot. And we'll just go from there. And then I went down one of the training sessions. I had one training session and then I met Andy the following day at the ground. And then he just said, yeah, listen, we want to sign you kind of thing. And then I said, yeah, no problem. So it came about quite quickly, to be honest. Like, there was not like a thing back and forth or nothing like that. It was quite quick that it turned around. I didn't expect it, to be honest, but I completely understood when Andy spoke to me and when Gary spoke to me that where they wanted to go, and I believe that we completely achieved that.
Yeah, most definitely. No, it was definitely worthwhile from our point of view anyway to get you and like say 40 and people like that on board last season.
Yeah.
So how do you feel from your point of view that the season went?
As a personal part?
Yeah, personally, yeah.
Yeah, I think it went very well for myself. It's been the first time in, I'd say, about 2-3 seasons that I've actually felt that we've got a good team that could actually cause problems to the league. And likewise, we did. You know what I mean? Like, we was up there constantly. We had a solid team, solid structure. And as a personal part, I feel that I've done very well. I would have liked to score a little bit more goals. But then again, I like to feel that my presence affected a lot more goals than maybe. So it's as a personal point, I was very happy, and hence the reason why at this point I'm in a very fortunate position to have a few clubs asking and whatnot. But yeah, and credit to Andy and Gaz for all of that, and especially to the fans that have stuck by us through a little bit of tough times at the start of the season.
Yeah. It certainly did get better towards the end. We had, like I say, we had a few moments where we perhaps lost a couple of games and success. I think the Peterborough and Bromsgrove ones probably stick out the most, but certainly towards the end we looked very, very good, and really you would say we were in a very good position to go all the way, and things have carried on. So out of your goals you scored, which one was your favourite last season?
To be honest, it's got to be between the Nuneaton one at home and the Hensford one away. Just because the Nuneaton one, it was a little bit of a bitter rivalry. You like it.
Just had I think that probably that'll got the biggest cheer, I think, that's for sure.
Yeah, definitely. Just had something about it. Especially, I know it meant a lot to the fans, and I know it meant a lot to the management team. And there was a bit of bitterness about some players towards Tamworth and likewise. So it was just nice to get one over on them, to be a part of it. I think.
No, most definitely. And the goal Hensford was a decent goal as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a nice goal as well.
So what do you think were the ingredients that made us one of the top teams in the division last season?
I just think that our hunger and desire to work hard for one another and buy in, because credit to Andy, a lot of people don't see what that man does outside of the pitch. I know that sometimes people might think that's a bit too much and he's a bit of a, I wouldn't say a bit of a nose, but like a bit too much on the side sometimes. And credit to Andy, he's a top geezer, one of the best managers I've played under and coached. He's definitely developed me I'm a far better player now than I was at the start of the season with him. And that's credit to his hard work and just his desire. I think it rubbed off on a lot of the players, the amount of time that you can see that man puts into all the details, the attention to detail they have. He can tell that he's got something special with regards to his coaching. So I just think, especially stemming down from the management, it rubbed down on us having a lot of desire, hunger, and just willingness to work hard for each other and pull each other through it kind of thing. Because we know we had a good bunch of lads. It was just about, games are not won nowadays by quality. It's just who's going to dig deeper and who's going to work harder for each other. And I just think that we had that consistently. So that's definitely one of the major recipes for our success. And credit to the management team, Gary and Andy.
Yeah, no, definitely. You know, I think, like you say, it's quite a recurring theme as well. People say, you know, other interviews, the amount of dedication and work that Andy does, and he is a passionate guy. But like you say, there aren't many Tamworth fans that would look in for that lot. You know what I mean? He's especially, you know, he's fighting for the same cause we all are, and so. Most definitely. So what are your ambitions within football? Is there anything in particular that you'd like to achieve?
At the moment, I would definitely, like, it would have been to win that league last season. But with regards to going higher, I do have ambitions. But back in the days when I was younger, when I didn't have many responsibilities, it was all about football. Like, I think now that I've got a stable business that we run, kind of thing, that, of course, if something came up in the professional game, then it would have to be looked at. But it's not something that I chase after. And I just know that it will come, kind of thing. If we do the right things, and like Andy's always told me, he said, Bilal, you just keep doing what you're doing. It will chase you, kind of thing. So with regards to achieving something, yeah, I believe that I could eventually go into the league one day. And hopefully it might be a little bit late, but still achieve something at a higher level. I believe that it can happen.
I think someone like Jamie Vardy is a prime example of that, isn't it? Persevering, and you know, sort of in his latter sort of 20s, he made the move to the Football League, didn't he? So it's never out of reach, is it?
Definitely.
No, that's good to hear. So, what was your highlight of the 2019-20 season?
I think it was, you know, the Royston game at home. It was a massive game for us as a bunch of lads. And as a Tamworth player, I think that was a very crucial point in our season, that we knew that the management were under a little bit of fire. We knew that as players, we were getting looked at, question kind of thing. When really, okay, we weren't in a bad position, but we understood why we was getting put under pressure, why they were getting understood under pressure. So we all got together on the training session before, and we just said, listen, guys, and a couple of messages went around from the management. And we believe that night there was nothing else going to happen apart from us turning them off and putting a solid performance. Who was going to outrun them? Who was going to do everything better than them? And I just think that game in this season, really, it was a must-win game for us. And it was definitely a game that I really, really enjoyed. And I'd just say that, for me personally, that was possibly the highlight of the season, that game there.
Yeah, no, I think you're right on what you say. I think we'd come off the back of a couple of defeats, haven't we, going into that game. And it was the teams around us, that they'd played more games than us, the likes of Bromsgrove and Peterborough and that, whereas Royston, I think, were around about the same amount of games played, and then we're about 2 points behind us. So it was a big win. And it was I think it was probably the turning point, really, from Tamworth's perspective, because we went on a bit of a winning run then, or certainly picking up a lot of points after that period. So how did you feel, or still feel, about the Football Association's decision to expunge non-league football from step three downwards so promptly?
I felt at the beginning a little bit disappointed. Even now, I feel disappointed. It's just as if like all the hard work's not recognised. Where I think that they should have gave it a little bit more time, but at the same time, like, of course, seeing the amount of deaths that this virus has brought around, and regardless of any conspiracies or whatever, I just believe that at the time I was a little bit upset and angry, and I've just felt like they didn't really care about the lower leagues, the non-league and whatnot, whereas the Premier League, and that they got a little bit of time to try and deal with this situation. And I just feel that's due to the amount of revenue, which is not right, because at the end of the day, that non-league is still a recognised organisation, and there's still a lot of players that make a good well-being from it, kind of thing and whatnot. Mm-hmm. So I just feel that it was just a little bit upsetting on a personal level, that they just done it so quickly, like not even no thought to it or anything like that.
No, well, it was very quick, like you say. It was within about a week or two they'd made that decision. And I think it's, like you say, it's perhaps unfair on the guys who've had really good seasons. I don't know, like Ryan Bezic obviously sticks out for scoring 18 goals last season. Yeah. And then for him to just turn around and go, well, actually, everything that's happened last season, he's not recognised as happening. I mean, we were all there, weren't we? We all paid the fees to go to the games and all that type of stuff. So it's, I think it was a bit unfair just to sort of wipe it from history almost. But like you say, it is, what's done is done, as they say. And finally, Bilal, is there a message you wanted to pass on to the supporters?
Just appreciate all the efforts and whatever money you guys put into, whether it be the team build out, whether it be at the gates and supporting the lads. And just to stick behind us, and especially coming back from all of this, as soon as things do go back to normal, to just give it a real push from the start, kind of thing. Because it does help the lads, especially when you got a crowd. And we believe that if it weren't for you guys, that there would be no point in playing. So when they're talking about going back to football with no fans, it will never be the same, kind of thing. So the fans are a big part, especially of our change room and all that. And it just helps the lads as a whole. So just keep supporting, and hopefully we can get a league title next season.
No, certainly from what I've seen on the fan groups and stuff like that, there'll be the fans will be getting there on match days before players when the opportunity arises, because I think everyone's has really missed it, haven't they? So
definitely.
We'll appreciate your time, though. It's been great speaking to you. Thank you again very much for your time.
No problem.
That was Bill Oyefi there, talking to Stuart Jones. Unfortunately, we are coming towards the end of tonight's show. On next week's show, we're going to be recapping the news which is set to be announced at the end of the week by the club. So keep your eyes out for that. Also, as mentioned by Bilal there, we're going to be talking a bit more about the Tamworth FC team builder and the importance of that. And hopefully Brian Whitehouse will be coming on to talk about the team builder next week. We're also hoping to speak with club legend Buster Belford, along with some other players, on next week's show. I hope that everyone listening has enjoyed the 9th of our weekly podcasts. Please share this to friends and family and any other TFC family members. Thank you very much for listening. On behalf of Tamworth FC, stay safe, stay alert, control the virus and save lives.